It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Liz McCormick. Here are some of the voices of people who have a message for President Obama about drug abuse.
Ongoing war that we're fighting daily on the streets of West Virginia, and we need your help.
There's a lot of women in the state struggling with this disease, and we really need help, please.
The people who commit drug crimes are not bad people. They are people who made a mistake and who need help.
A video produced by students at Richwood High School has been posted on the White House's website. This story coming up on this West Virginia morning. First, this news.
Paul Ryan, the Wisconsin Republican, says he'll run if his fellow Republicans will back him. NPR's Elsa Chang says Ryan would like to know where things stand by the end of the week.
Ryan wants the most conservative members in the House to back him. And if you ask them what they want, a lot of them will say it's less about the person, it's more about the process. They've felt excluded by the leadership in the past and want changes to House rules so rank-and-file members get to share more power with leaders.
The roughly 40 members of the House Freedom Caucus are considered the most conservative of the GOP. They had threatened to oust House Speaker John Boehner before Boehner announced he was resigning. Toyota is recalling 6.5 million vehicles worldwide over a possible fire hazard with some power window switches. John Matthews in Tokyo reports fewer than half of the recalls affect drivers in North America.
2.7 million of the recalled vehicles were made in North America, including some Camrys, RAV4s, and Highlanders. Toyota says no collisions have been reported in connection to the problem, where insufficient greasing of electrical contact points could start a fire. One U.S.-based Toyota owner has, however, reported being burned.
Tropical storm Patricia is now churning off the Pacific coast of Mexico. It's the 16th such storm of the season. I'm Dave Mattingly in Washington.
And I'm Beth Voorhees in Charleston. Just taking a moment with you right now to remind you that we are in our fall campaign pledge season. We're counting on you to count on us and count on your support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. How to do that? Call 1-800-723-4687. We're looking for 11 fans of West Virginia Public Broadcasting to give us a call before 8 o'clock this morning. That's 1-800-723-4687. In just about a minute, we'll be hearing a story from Roxy Todd on NPR's Morning Edition. Now, we make a fuss over this because this is kind of a big deal. Over the years, Dave Mistich, Ashton Mara, Clark Davis, others have been on Morning Edition and on NPR News. As soon as it was announced that the president was coming to Charleston, West Virginia, producers at NPR in Washington got on the phone with us here and they said, "What have you got about the drug overdose problem in West Virginia?" Roxy Todd took up the assignment and she worked with NPR on this story. It's a big deal. We consider ourselves good writers and good editors and good storytellers here. When you work with NPR, they put you through your paces and it's worth it. And we are privileged to do it. So Roxy Todd is coming up on NPR's Morning Edition. We wanted to give you a chance to hear it.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from America's Natural Gas. Learn how Georgia Power reduced emissions at its power plant using natural gas. Thinkaboutit.org. From Farmers Insurance, informing people about common insurance gaps so they won't be surprised by what their policy actually covers. Agent locator and more info at farmers.com/gaps. Farmers Insurance. Know the gaps. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Here's a troubling statistic about drug abuse. In West Virginia, the number of heroin overdoses has increased almost fivefold in the last 5 years. President Obama heads there today. Here's West Virginia Public Broadcasting's Roxy Todd.
It's not exactly clear why West Virginia has had such a problem with drug abuse. There are a few factors: high rates of poverty and unemployment. Also, some addicts grew up in families where people used drugs. That's what happened to Ashley Counts.
My mom, she was on crack. And I mean, that was hard. And I guess just seeing her use, she made it look fun. And that's when it all began.
counts as 24 and has dyed burgundy hair. On this day, she sits inside an imposing stone courthouse because after crack, she moved on to prescription pills and then to heroin.
The high was just extraordinary to me.
When she was arrested for heroin possession, Counts could have gone to prison for years. Instead, she was chosen for a diversion program focused on treatment. But there was a problem. All the rehab clinics were full. So she waited in jail for a space to open up for 5 months. Her three children were sent to live with her grandfather. Because of the backlog, many addicts in West Virginia never get help at all. Here's Dr. Edward Eskew, an addiction specialist in Charleston.
And when they are willing to try to change their lives and get help, we have a real difficult time providing that help in a timely fashion here.
State officials say about 60,000 people are seeking some sort of addiction treatment. But West Virginia only has enough facilities to help 15,000. Even some in law enforcement think more addicts should get treatment, not prison.
These aren't hardened criminals we're talking about. These are mothers. These are fathers. These are somebody's children, somebody's brother and sister.
This is Travis Zimmerman, who is Ashley Count's probation officer. When he works with addicts, he sounds more like a counselor than a cop. Here's Zimmerman meeting with a recovering addict named Mike.
Any problems? Any hiccups? Any roadblocks you've run into?
No, I've been actually clean since April 15th.
Yeah?
So.
All right. Well, okay. Well, we're going to test that today.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to need you to do a drug screen today.
Mike's drug test came back clean. Studies show when addicts get treatment, fewer return to crime. During his visit to West Virginia today, President Obama will talk about the need for judges and police officers to partner with substance abuse organizations to steer addicts away from drugs. That's exactly what helped Ashley Counts get clean and stay clean for 18 months now.
They tell you wait for the miracle. But then you come to realize, like, you are the miracle. You know, like, look what you just went through, and you're alive. So, I mean, people just need to step back and look at it. Look how grateful they are for the things they do have still, and that it's not too late.
A few months ago, Counts got her GED and regained custody of her kids. She's also engaged and just gave birth to a healthy baby girl named Amelia. For NPR News, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston, West Virginia.
And we'd like to thank you this morning for listening to us on your public radio station. You can keep following us throughout your day on Facebook. We're also on Twitter at Morning Edition and at NPR Montaigne, at NPR Inscape, and at NPR Green. And that is green with an E at the end.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Liz McCormick. Ahead of President Obama's visit to Charleston this afternoon, students at Richwood High School have produced a video highlighting issues of substance abuse in Nicholas County. Participating in PBS NewsHour's Student Reporting Lab, the students from Richwood High spoke to recovering addicts, their family members, and law enforcement officials to paint a gripping picture of the problems they face in the area. Here's the sound from that video.
Got a sister that died a few months ago that was a few years younger than me because she became addicted to medications that the doctors had prescribed to her.
I started using drugs when I was like 12, probably smoking weed, just to fit in.
I got arrested on 2 felony delivery charges.
I got arrested on 2 felony delivery charges, and as part of my bond stipulation, I had to go to DRC. I've been in there 13 months, and I didn't know how to live without drugs. It's how I felt. I had to have them to get up in the morning. I had to have them to do anything. I had to have them to live.
When it was happening, you don't really realize that the drugs are taking over your body and your mind. You think that everything's still okay.
I've not done heroin, but I've done my share. And it's not something I'm proud of. It's ruined my life.
I have 2 children. I have a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old. And for those 2 years, I didn't wake up thinking, I got to get my kids up for school or I got to do this. I woke up thinking, I'm going to go get high today.
What I've learned today is addiction is a disease, and it kills people. It really does.
My little boy, one day we were at Go-Mart, And so mom went and bought me a chocolate milk. And I said, I don't have the money to, but I have 50 bucks in my pocket, and I went and bought a pill with it.
I never had much to do with my son. I would take him to my mom's house, and I would leave him there for days at a time, sometimes weeks.
So for me, you know, it's just, it's heart-wrenching because I've seen so many people that I absolutely just love have their lives ruined because of it.
Mr. President, we would like you to know.
Mr. President, I want you to know.
Dear Mr. President, I would like you to know.
Mr. President, we would like you to know.
Mr. President, I would like you to know.
Mr. President, I want you to know.
Mr. President, I want you to know that I know babies born addicted to drugs.
Mr. President, the citizens of Nicholas County would like you to know that families are struggling and we need resources to combat the drug disease in our county.
I would say an estimate would be 90% of the crimes committed in our county are drug-related.
That there are kids my age addicted to drugs, and that's not okay.
I feel like in our town, in our community, that we need more support.
This is an ongoing war that we're fighting daily on the streets of West Virginia, and we need your help.
That there's a lot of women in this state struggling with this disease, and we really need help, please.
That people who commit drug crimes are not bad people. They are people who made a mistake and who need help.
You've been listening to Voices from Nicholas County, recorded by students at Richwood High School. It's part of West Virginia Public Broadcasting's partnership with the school and PBS NewsHour's Student Reporting Lab. These students will be covering President Obama's visit to Charleston today to discuss substance abuse issues. Live coverage will be available on radio, West Virginia Public Broadcasting 2 on television, and online at wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:53. Today, it's going to be sunny across the state with highs in the 60s and low 70s. Tonight, mostly clear with lows in the 40s. And tomorrow will be partly sunny with highs in the 60s and 70s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance. Putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com.
And call 1-800-723-4687 or go online at wvpublic.org and pledge your support to West Virginia Public Broadcasting and the News and Morning Edition. 1-800-723-4687. And thanks.
A culture of fear and intimidation. That's how former Upper Big Branch miner Stanley Goose Stewart described his time working in the southern West Virginia coal mine. Stewart made the comments during his testimony yesterday in the trial of former Massey Energy CEO Don Blankenship. Blankenship is charged with conspiring to violate federal mine safety standards and lying to security officials and investors about his company's safety record. Stewart's testimony painted a scene of unsafe conditions underground, which he says were a result of pressure from upper management to produce high volumes of coal. In 2012, he spoke with West Virginia Public Broadcasting about those conditions and shared his thoughts on how Massey dealt with federal mine safety standards.
Working under Massey, they didn't care. For some reason, they seemed like that was in their agenda to just break the rules, and they didn't have to follow the law. It was like they had a mentality that the laws were stupid.
Stewart shared similar feelings with jurors yesterday, saying when a safety inspector came into the mine, miners were instructed to, quote, dress things up and make them look pretty, or run coal legally, but he says that rarely happened when an inspector wasn't around. Stewart testified there was a code of silence at the Upper Big Branch mine surrounding the unsafe practices. The Upper Big Branch mine exploded on April 5, 2010, killing 29 miners. Stanley Stewart was 300 feet underground that day on his way to work the evening shift in the mine. Testimony in the trial of Don Blankenship continues today. As part of a continuing effort exploring possible changes to the state tax code, members of the Joint Select Committee on Tax Reform held a day-long public hearing at the Capitol Tuesday. The hearing allowed West Virginia citizens to share their suggestions for ways to improve the state's tax structure. And while at least a dozen citizens showed, few lawmakers filled the seats to listen. That, however, didn't stop members of the public from openly sharing what they think are the right steps for West Virginia.
Welcome everybody here to public hearing on our Joint Select Committee of Tax Reform.
From eliminating certain taxes to increasing others, the Joint Select Committee on Tax Reform heard it all. Many speakers at yesterday's public hearing brought up issues with the state's severance tax, property tax, and income tax credit, giving their own ideas to either lessen the pool or to increase revenue. Some mentioned the benefits of increasing the tax on tobacco, saying it would help to decrease the amount of West Virginia smokers while also bringing in more money at the same time. Speakers asked lawmakers to remember the children who come from families making minimum wage and live paycheck to paycheck. Senator Mike Hall, a Republican from Putnam County, shares the chairmanship with Delegate Eric Nelson, a Republican from Kanawha County. Hall says the tax reform committees in both houses will have a lot to think about.
We heard a wide array of comments. We heard about the earned income tax credit, which we were aware we would. But we also heard from the Coal Association and business community saying there are certain taxes here that really hurt us. And though it will be difficult to deal with those quickly because they're multi-millions of dollars of revenue, it's important for us to hear that.
Hall says the looming question this session will be how to adequately manage reforming the tax structure in a low-budget year.
Revenues are down. Can we live with them? There'll be a lot of pressure from people to raise this or raise that to cover costs, but right now, so we're in a mode of seeing where can we operate. You know, the revenues are low, and so it'll be very hard to talk about tax policy in this climate in the legislative session. But I think at the end of the day, when the committee's done, we'll have a few things to propose and some major principles to look at and say, going forward, as things would permit, that we would like to see our tax code be changed in a manner that would be more beneficial to our economy.
Tax reform is likely to be at the forefront of the 2016 session, and legislators know they face a contentious battle ahead. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Liz McCormick.